This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Thoughts Become Things. Hey, by the way, I have some important announcement to make to you guys today. We are launching our webinar again this month. It's usually the end of every month, and I want you guys to be a part of it. So you need to consider being a part of this webinar. Now, every month, we focus on some really powerful topics, some hot revelatory topics, and I want you guys to be part of it. You can interact with me, ask me questions while I'm teaching. You get an outline for what I'm going to talk about. You get a full-length MP4 video once we're done with it. You get it sent to your email where you can download it, and it's yours, folks. You guys would love it. So make sure you're part of our webinar. I want to see you there, all right? So I'm excited you guys decided to join with us today. I'm thrilled because this is a time where we need to understand there's so much activity going on in the world today. So many new inventions, new technologies, new this, new that. And yet we have more access to each other than any time in history. Like, we can communicate with people across the globe within seconds, folks. I mean, how cool is that? And so, you know, I wanted to talk today about fail forward. Because when we talk about fail forward, I mean, when you fail, guess what happens? We have so many people I life coach who tend to fail backwards. And what I mean by fail backwards, that means when they fail miserably. They fail, they take a step back, they reexamine, you know, they overanalyze, and then they start questioning, oh my God, what if it was out of God's will? What if it was not God? What if it was me? Folks, let me tell you something. I have come to the realization in my life, I do not have time to waste. Now, you might say, so is it wasting time to question God and question me? Well, you know what? A lot of times it is. Yes. Because you have to remember, your main objective or your main goal in life is to run the race. Fight the good fight of faith. We're here to run the race, reach and cross the finish line of whatever goal that is that lies before you in the season. We're here to run and not grow weary, to walk and not grow faint. So you notice, all through the Bible, there's action. There's action in every step we take. And yet, we're never called to stand alone, be alone, don't do anything, don't make a move. We're never told that in the Bible. We are mistakenly told through certain scriptures that are totally wrong and an error as far as their definitions when it says, be still and know that I'm God. God doesn't mean stay stagnant, be still, don't do anything. Stillness represents a still in action. And when it says, be still and know that I'm God, it doesn't mean to stay still, be stagnant, non-productive, and just do absolutely positively nothing. When we know that we're created beings to be energy. We are energy. Everything in the universe is energy. And so everything is on the move. Everything's flowing. So when we talk about be still and know that I'm God, God doesn't mean don't do anything at all, sit still, like literally be non-productive, as if life is passing you by. You know, God would never do that. That goes against His laws. It goes against everything God's ever said in the Word. Period. And so how on earth am I supposed to be still and know that He's God, but yet at the same time, I'm told to run the race, to mount up with wings as eagles in the sense of running and not growing weary. So which one is it, God? Do I stay still or do I run? I mean, make up your mind, God. Which one do you want? Are you with me? And so we have to remember there's a reconciliation between laws and reconciliation between scriptures. And that is when we bring the council together to understand what this means. And if you look it up in its original language, it means to continue to go forward. It just means consciously be aware. Consciously be still and aware of what is going on with the situation. And so when we're dealing with a situation at hand, let's say, for example, that is not looking good, and we're like, what do I do? Okay, here's the situation. We've got it here. and it tends to look like it's not doing too good. So what do? I continue to run the race, correct? Absolutely. Do I make myself aware of the situation to analyze it, not overanalyze it, but analyze it as I'm still moving forward, as I'm still progressively moving forward? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is an extremity of action, folks. Come on. And so when you fail in your situation, or you're needing to stop, quote unquote, in a minute to look at something because you're learning to be still, it means continue to go forward, but make a conscious effort. Be consciously aware of what is going on at hand. In other words, don't let yourself going forward take things by surprise. So in other words, when you're going forward, don't allow certain things to take you by surprise, but be not just cautious, but be alert, be awakened to every step you take. And that's what it means to be still. It doesn't mean God is saying, stop, don't do anything, don't even be productive, don't run because I don't want you to run the race, don't mount up, that's action, don't walk and grow weary, that's action. Don't do this. That's action. David, and here's a great example, folks. David even said in the Bible, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, David, so here is the perfect example of understanding these scriptures and how they intertwine with one another. So David is saying, yea, though I walk. David was smart enough. King David was smart enough to know, hey, you know what? This dude is walking. I'm going forward. I don't have time to sit still because in essence, I'm not sitting still. I'm actually moving backwards. Folks, you never stand still anyway. There's really no such thing as standing still because we're energy beings. We're always in movement, always vibrating. And so it's impossible in this vast universe to actually be still if you think about it. There's no such thing. Because if you're still, you're still moving. You're still in vibration. But we also understand that if you stay still, you're either going forward or you're going backwards. There's actually not a sitting still anyway. You're either going forward or going backwards, one or the other. Because everything according to the law of movement is in movement. So because of that, David is smart enough to know, hey, look, this dude is walking through the valley. In other words, I'm walking. I'm going forward. I'm not, I don't have time to sit still, whatever that's supposed to mean, and do nothing, not be productive. I have a life to live. And David knew he had a life to live. And that means, look, I'm going through a difficult, hard situation, but I'm going to walk through this valley of the shadow of death. So when we talk about fail forward, most of you say, well, doesn't it sound make sense to say fall forward? No, because the thing is, I'm not falling. I went through a failing or I failed in a situation, for example, but I'm not going to fall in it. Okay? So if something is failing, that means I'm going to fail forward. And if I fail, that means I don't have time to sit here and say, oh God, what have I done wrong? Oh God, was this me? Oh God, was this you? And then guess what that spirals down into? Oh God, I must not be hearing you correctly. Oh God, I've messed up. Oh, where are you, God? And all of a sudden, you sound like a big drama queen. I mean, the truth is you become a drama queen because then you start questioning. I've known people. I have spoken with people in life coaching for years. I've been in ministry over 30-something years. And what I've heard so many people say, because they don't realize what you focus on expands. I hear people tell me this all the time. First of all, I think I made a mistake. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. This mistake led me to question God. Oh, wait a minute. This mistake led me not just to question God, but then question myself. Oh, wait a minute. This questioning myself makes me question if I'm even hearing from God. Oh, wait a minute. This questioning myself is even wondering, do I even know God anymore? Oh, wait a minute. Am I even saved? You'd be shocked, folks, the people that come to me with the most craziest nonsense because they have fed the energy of a failure or a something that's causing them to look to think as if the situation is not looking good and just spiraling down into this horrible thinking where before long you're thinking, hey, let me reel you back in like a fishing rod. I got to reel you back in because you've gotten so far out there that you're not even on the same pattern. And none of these questions are going to cause you to fix the problem. I mean, come on, folks. None of them is going to cause you to fix the problem. What you've got to do is like David. Hey, David was a man. He was man enough to say, hey, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. So he's letting you know, I'm walking through a shadow of death. I'm walking through a very difficult, hard situation. But I'm trucking on. I'm going forward. Don't have time to waste. Don't have time to question me, question God. Oh God, what have I done? Oh God, where are you? Now David's done that before in his life. Yeah, he's questioned God. But he turned around and bounced back. He understood the value of walking. And when I say fail forward, that means when you make a fall. In other words, or when you fail, I should say. Because you don't want to fall. And even though if you fall, here's what happens. The Bible says the righteous are going to fall seven times. Put it another way. The righteous are going to make mistakes. The righteous are going to fall. The righteous will come to a place where they see something in a situation and it shall become a failure. But the Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. That's good news. That should tell you right there, if you make a mistake, it's okay. You're going to get picked back up. Who cares? Dust your feet off and move on. Most people are afraid of failure, and most people are afraid of falling more than anything. In fact, they're more afraid of that than they are anything else. And yet the truth is, you're going to fall. I mean, the Bible's letting you know, you're going to fall, you will fail, you will make a mistake, no biggie. If you do, not a big deal. Oh God, how can you say it's not a big deal? Because I'm going to pick you up. Do you truly believe that all things work together for our good? Do you truly believe that all things do not mean God takes good things to turn them into good things? That's like saying, hey, I'm going to perform a magic trick. Now give me an apple. I'm going to turn this apple into an apple. You know, alakazam. Wow, it's an apple. Most people will look at you and say, okay, that's a little idiotic because it was an apple to begin with. Are you with me? And so most people are afraid of failure, afraid to fall. They're afraid of things because they don't realize if God turns all things around for good, He doesn't take the good things and turn the good things around for good. That's an apple turning an apple into an apple. Makes no sense. If something's good, it doesn't need to be turned into anything good because it's already good. And so God takes all things, and all things means all things that are negative, your failures, your bad things, your horrible things, your rotten things, the things that you did, things you asked for, things you didn't ask for, things people did to you that actually turned out to make you look bad, and the things you did to make yourself look bad. It doesn't matter. All these negative things are going to be turned around for good. So, do you really believe that? Or are you kind of the person that believes, I don't have time to waste in my life, Jeremy? Well, you're not wasting life. You're learning from life. You're not wasting. See, if you think living life, and people in life coaching tell me this all the time, Jeremy, I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to date around. I got to find the one. Really? Wow, welcome to humanity of 7 billion people where everyone else would love to do that. But guess who does it? Zero. Zero out of 7 billion people actually make perfect steps. They don't make, you know, they don't make mistakes. They pick the right one, the right girl, the right man, the right job, the right this, the right that. Then there's zero people on earth who do that. Because everybody is prone to fail. Everybody is prone to make mistakes, and everybody will make mistakes, and everybody will fail. And it's how you see it. Either you're going to waste time. Oh, I'm wasting time. I don't have time to waste. Well, guess what? You're wasting time by talking to me when you could be doing, when you could be working. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you're wasting time. Not that listening to me is wasting time. But what I'm saying though is you are wasting time in other areas that you could be working in. If I'm focusing on ministry, for example, and I'm not feeding in my family, how on earth could I actually feed into my family, my job, you know, feed into my economic status, feed into, you know, everything about having to take care of, the animals, the yard, the house. How can I do that all at the exact same time? I can't. I only have two hands, two arms. So that means I can only focus on one thing at a time, right? So guess what? There are things right now in my life that are actually not failing, but they're sort of just residing. They're just there. They're not nothing. No one's entertaining them. No one's taking care of them. No one's doing this or this. And so guess what I'm doing? I could say in that area at the present moment, since I'm doing my podcast, I could say I'm sort of wasting time, if I could say it that way, because I'm, when I could be doing this, taking care of my lawn, cleaning up our house, taking, you know, my family here, doing this. I could be saying all that. But the truth is, guess what? I'm called to do this right now. For such a time as this, I'm called to do one thing at a time. So I could say I'm wasting time by doing this, because in essence, if the yard could talk, the yard would say, hey, you're wasting time. Focus on me. My family could say, hey, you're wasting time doing a podcast. Focus on me. You know, anything and everything in life would look at me if it could talk and say, you're wasting time because you need to focus on what you need to be doing with me because I need your attention. You see what I'm saying? And so if you think about it, you know, everything in life, I can't entertain at one time. Neither can you. And so there's some things in your life right now that actually you're going to, if they could prophesy to you, it would say, hey, you're wasting time. You know, what about me? Come look at me. Because of the fact everything wants my attention. Everything wants your attention. And from that, you have to understand that you cannot, it's utterly impossible to do everything at one time. So you have to focus one thing at a time. And what you have to do is focus on the things in which you know you need to be doing at that moment. And find space to do the things you needed to do in that moment. And so because of that, if I make a mistake, if I fail in something, then when people sit here and say, well, I'm wasting my time doing this and this and this and this and this, or I don't want to waste my time, then here's this key situation. If you think you're wasting time, you are wasting time. If you think that you are learning through time, then guess what? To you, you'll be learning through time. It all depends on how you want to look at it. Half, you know, glass half full, half empty. For me, I look and I say, I've never wasted time. I don't. Everything I go through, good, bad, or ugly, I learn from. And so when I look at something and say, man, I don't want to waste my time on that. Well, guess what? That doesn't come out of my mouth. I don't ever say I'm wasting time. What I do is say, you know what? I put time into this and energy and effort, and it turned out to look like it's a failure. But guess what? I still never wasted my time. I'm learning from time. And so anything and everything I do, I'm going to learn from it. So was it a waste of time to begin with? No. Because I learned from it. You're called to learn from the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the majority of times, folks, you learn more from the ugly and the bad things than you do the good things. Because it's the times where something in your adrenaline kicks in to say, you know, retreat, 911, I got to fix this. I got to get out of this. I got to do something because it's not turning out good, right? Your adrenaline starts flowing more. And so how are you going to see that? You're awakened more in that heightened state when something goes wrong, because you realize this situation needs my full attention and I got to focus on it now to correct the situation. And through that, you got to remember, if it's a failure, guess what? Are you learning? If you're awakened more through the bad situation, then learn from it and through it. Be like David, man up and realize I got to go through this thing. Not a big deal. Because you know what? Thy rod and thy staff is going to comfort me. Hey, not a big deal. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear any evil. Here's what David would say in modern terminology. Guys, I have to do what I have to do. I got to go through this thing. That I could care less. You know, I don't care. I got the tools I need to deal, you know, to make this thing work. And so that way he realized, I'm not wasting my time. I'm going to utilize the tools I need when I need them to a situation that obviously I need to be going through, because only I can go through it. And so I've learned to look at my life and realize I never waste time, nor do I feel as if someone, you know, or that something in my life that's not currently present, you know, that I'm wasting my time until I get to that thing. No, I'm learning through life. I'm learning through the things in which I'm going through. Either I truly believe my footsteps are ordered by the Lord, or I do not. One or the other, folks, you can't ride the fence on that one. Either you are ordained, and every footstep you do, God's given it to you, and it's ordained by Him, or they're not. I choose to believe what the Bible says, and that is that my footsteps are ordered by God. End of story. And so because of that, no worries for me. No big deal. I don't have time to worry. What is there to worry about knowing that all things are going to be turned around for my good anyway? What is there to worry about knowing that in this life I'll have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, God said He's already overcome them. What do I have to worry about knowing that when I say, I don't want to waste my time finding the right woman, finding the right man, finding the one, when I just look at the situation and say, you know what, I'm never wasting my time. If I need to date 3 people, 10 people, or 15 people, girls or guys or whatever your situation may be, it's not a waste of time for me. It's a learning curve. I can learn what I want versus what I don't want. And the main thing is, it's not always about me. What I'm learning, what if in these situations I could be there to actually impart something to someone else? And so see, really, are you know, either to you, you've wasted your time, and wasting time, honestly, is a very selfish motive. People don't realize it. You know, people say, I don't want to waste my time dating, I want to find the one. You're very extremely selfish, very extremely selfish, because every person you encounter that you go on those dates with, every person, every job interview you have until the one comes along, guess what? You're forgetting you're an ambassador, your representation, your vessel. Those people need probably something you have, of a kind word, to be a good example in an interview. It means a lot to people. I've had many people, you know, I've interviewed throughout the years, and I've said, I've come home and I've said, you know, told my family, wow, you know, I wouldn't hire them, but what an impact that person made in my life. So see, when people say, I don't want to waste my time, what you're saying is, I'm extremely selfish. I don't care about anyone else. I want to have what I want. Then you know what? Go to the candy store and pitch a fit until you get a sucker. That's exactly what it is. No difference. And so you got to remember, people who say, I don't want to waste time, are very self-centered, selfish people. For me, I want to go through life of what I need to experience. However that looks, no matter what it is, I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm like David. I'm going to enjoy my life. If I have to go through a hard situation, I'm going to enjoy my life. And failing forward or fail forward basically means, if I fail, I'm still going forward. If I make a mistake, I'm still going forward. I don't have time to react. I don't have time to get on drama queen, you know, with myself and with God. I've missed something. Oh, I've missed something. Oh, I've missed God, and yada, yada, yada. Are you with me, folks? Don't have time for that. Knowing that you're going to make a mistake. You're going to hear from God wrong sometimes. No big deal. You're going to hear from God right many times. Awesome. Sometimes you'll create things out of yourself being a creator and a co-creator with God, and sometimes you'll create things out of inspiration from the Holy Spirit. You'll create things and you'll say, awesome. Sometimes you'll create things that turn out to be a dud. But you know what? I don't care, because I'm still in action, I'm still in the mode of action, and I'm still doing something. And I'm never wasting my time. I'm learning from time. I'm learning through time. I'm learning to realize, not a big deal. Something within the equation of that situation means I'm taking and I'm giving. I'm giving as a good example of what I can give through a bad situation, of what it means to be able to man up and smile and go through life with a good heart and a heart of joy and peace. Or I can pitch a fit and say, dadgummit, I wasted my time again. I didn't want to do this. God, bring me the one. I'm going to scream and cry until the perfect one, or the perfect person, or the perfect job, or the perfect this, or this perfect, or perfect that comes along. Which one do you think God honors, folks? Honestly, which one do you think God honors? If my footsteps are ordered by God, I'm going to enjoy my life. And if something goes wrong, not a biggie. No big deal. Obviously, I'm called to go through that thing anyway, so what's the big deal? Can I change it? Can I change something that is maybe something I didn't ask for? Or maybe something I did ask for? But yet, you know what? God knew the ending. God knew the ending from the beginning. He knew I was going to go through it. So obviously, I need to go through something to learn from it. And sometimes people say, well, those learning curves always seem like it's God's pointing his finger to you to say, you big dummy, you messed up. Learn from this. No. Learning curves does not always have to be a negative. Learning curves or because of through a mistake. Learning curve can be, hey, I really did this really good. This turned out to be amazing. Well, what did you learn from it in the good? What did you learn from it in the mistake? What did you learn from it through the bad? What did you learn from it through what it is you did that turned out to be a flop, a failure, a fall, or an amazing and creative invention? So it doesn't matter, because all these things are telling me, Jeremy, enjoy your life. Love the life you've been given. Go and create. Go and co-create. And go and have inspiration. Manifest those desires. Create a life worth living. And no matter what it takes to get there, good, bad, and ugly, it's okay. Everything's going to be turned around. It's all going to work out for you anyway. So you know what? Start enjoying it. I have a friend of mine who's a bishop. Good friend of mine out in Texas, and in my social media, you know, I never really get into social media because I have a social media director who takes care of all that for me, but every once in a while I pop my head in there, and whenever I do, there's one phrase he always says, and it's so powerful. He always says, enjoy life. enjoy life. And he always puts in joy in life. He doesn't spell it out like E-N-G-J-O-Y. He puts N-J-O-Y life, enjoy life. Everything. If it's a comment that someone's posted political, positive or negative, or someone who's posted something that is happy about their baby, just arrived, or no matter what it is, something bad or negative, I lost my job, whatever. Everything he puts is enjoy life. And the truth is, folks, that's a big prophetic word. That's a powerful affirmation. Because the main thing we've got to learn in life is learning to just enjoy it. Learning to enjoy it. If you're going through a hard financial situation, you have been for a long time, you're like, man, I'm putting action to it. I'm doing everything I possibly can. You will be faced with the reality. Am I wasting my time? I've been wasting my time for years now, Jeremy, trying to get the prosperity I need. Or you can say, you know what? I just take a deep breath and say, it's okay. It's okay. If I have to endure this for a while and continue to take action steps, until the prosperity comes, it's okay. You know why? Because in the midst of it, I need to enjoy my life. I need to see what I can learn and what I can take from the beauty of life itself. And life, and the beauty of life transcends past your good days and your bad days. I'll close with this. Remember Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, where Eve, partook of the apple, we could say, of the fruit, and all of a sudden she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life in which they were supposed to eat from, but God knew what they're going to do anyway, hello, from the very beginning. And basically, she chose a life of good versus bad, as opposed to choosing life, a life of life, enjoying life, as my friend says. And so you have a choice today. Either your life can be a big waste until the biggie comes, the big financial breakthrough, the big job comes, the big one, my soulmate, the husband, the wife. You can do that, or you can learn to enjoy life and say, life is more important to me than the good and the bad. Life is more important to me than what I feel as if I've wasted, or I've wasted this my time on, or I've made a mistake, or I didn't do this, and then get all drama. Or you can say, life transcends all of that. And in the midst of even the difficult and hardest times of my entire life, I'm learned, because I'm not perfect, but I am learning to say, it's okay. It's still my life. And my life can be what I want it to be as far as my emotion. Remember this, happiness is a choice. Your happiness does not rely on your money situation or what you do or don't have. Your happiness doesn't rely on the fact of having the perfect spouse or having the perfect job or having no money or a lot of money. My happiness does not depend on my good or my bad, because I refuse to eat from that kind of tree anymore. I want to be able to eat from the tree that is called life. And life always transcends past, above and beyond good and bad anyway. And when you begin to understand that, you'll begin to live a life worth living. And life will mean something to you. It'll mean more to you. And you'll find out, you know what? How could I be so ridiculously ignorant the whole time, just I've been wasting my life, or I've been doing this and doing that? If you're making conscious effort and decisions, and you're taking actions of faith, you're never wasting your life. You're building up something that one day will pay off. And when that moment comes, it'll pay off for you when you least expect it. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in again to our podcast, Thoughts Become Things. I want to encourage you guys. I just recently put a package together. I'm a national, international author, but I'm a national best-selling author. And I put together a package recently called Relationship Package. No matter where you stand in life, if you're single, if you're in great anticipation trying to attract the perfect spouse, or either you just got married, or you've been married for 50 years, it doesn't matter. Whatever category you fall into in relationship or no relationship, my package will work for you. I do not believe in hyper faith books where it's unreachable. And if I haven't reached it, if I haven't obtained it yet in that place of experience, then you know what? Then I shouldn't be passing information along to you. But if I've experienced it, lived it out, know how to combat the system, to know how to make these things happen and attract into your world, then you know what? I can speak from experience. If it works for me, it'll work for you. And so I want you to go to the website, identitynetwork.net, And at the top of our search engine, put in relationship package, two words, relationship package. And I want you guys to get it today. It's going to be able to, it comes with a book, a workbook, and two books. So you get a total of four books. These are going to help you guys to attract the mate you want. Not the perfect mate, because no one's perfect, but you'll attract the right mate for you. The one that'll have a synergetic flow between you and that person. And if you've been married for so long and you feel as if, oh my gosh, I have a difficult spouse, things are just not working out. I mean, he thinks black, I think white. He sees up, I see down. Well, guess what? We can help to change that and bring forth a synergetic flow between the two of you. I discussed that in the book of how to be able to attract, how to be able to shift and change a relationship that looks as if it is total opposites. I'm here to help you guys. You deserve a dynamic, romantic, powerful relationship. And if you're looking for one or you're already in one, these books are for you. So go right now to the website, put in relationship package, two words, and order it today. It's going to mean the world to you because you will have where your relationship will be amazing. And you deserve the best, proper, right relationship. Everyone does. If you want to call the office to order it, here's our office number, 205-362-7133. And when you call, just say, I want to order the Relationship Package by Jeremy Lopez. You guys have a blessed day today. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.